Chef!
I have the best week could ever plan. James Franco's having a giant party. This place is beautiful, man.
This place is like a piece of me. You two just stepped inside me.
You let us both come inside you. Yeah.
Boom. Thanks, James Franco.
This is the end, as I like to call it. Bring your buddies and just kill them all off one by one of bad comedians, you know?
What is it with all these movies where it's everyone's in a house and suddenly shit hits the fan? Except in this movie, shit literally hits the fan.
Look at my shit. That's all you need to know. Whatever.
First we got the pimped out house in The Purge, and now we got James Franco. Hey, everybody, look at my fucking house. Isn't this great?
And you know what? At times, I swear to God, I thought he was playing his character back from Spring Break. Because when he was talking or whatever, I heard like his voice trying to change a couple of times. And I was just waiting for him to just go like, hey, don't touch my shit. Look at this shit right here. I got a Milky Way motherfucking paintings up in here. I got Seth Rogen's name on my wall right here. We can watch it together.
Oh, but you know what? This is the end. And I got to say, this was probably my favorite movie of the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. I do have a little minor problem with it, but I was laughing a lot or whatever. And then I was just shocked by that ending or whatever, which I'm surprised most critics that I've been listening to, whatever, and reviews, whatever, has been saying this in the movie, because I think that's a major spoiler, to be honest, whatever, and that's mainly in the effects.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm kind of in the same place for both movies this weekend. I think they're both good. I think there's flaws with the two of them, but I will definitely say this is one of the best comedies that's come out in years for me.
Mm-hmm. I would completely agree with that, and Well, you know, let's get into a plot synopsis here or whatever. And I tell you what, this happened in my hometown or whatever. And when I saw it burning or whatever, I was just like, race select party has begun or whatever. Because I saw this the day, 2 days, no, a day after when Jeff and Jason came by from RageSelect.com or whatever. And,
oh, no.
And I was like, yes, that's what we've done. But this comedy, This Is the End, follows six friends trapped in a house after a series of strange catastrophic events devastates LA like no other low budget comedy film I've ever seen or whatever.
Right.
As the world unravels outside, dwindling supplies and cabin fever threaten to tear apart the friendship inside between these six guys. Eventually they are forced to leave the house, facing their fate and the true meaning of redemption, religion, and even their friendship, whatever the friendship they had in here, because towards the end, I was like, damn, were you guys really friends at all?
Well, I mean, here's the thing that people got to understand about this movie. One, hey, everyone, it's six friends that we know. It's famous celebrities Jay Baruchel, Seth Rogen, James Franco, Craig Robinson, Danny McBride, and Jonah Hill, all stuck in a house together.
And all six of these guys... Well, not even six guys. I probably either got annoyed with them last year or said their movie is bullshit and what happened to their career or whatever. Seth Rogen, his first directorial debut here, I gotta say, he was at an F for me last year. He bumped himself up back to a D with this. I'm a little excited. Not so much excited to see his next film, but I'm a little bit of whatever. I don't want to get my hopes up too high now. Maybe
I've always been a fan of Seth Rogen. I think he's actually a really good comedian. Not many people know this, but he actually has done off and on stand-up, and his stand-up's actually pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When Seth Rogen first made it into the big stream, whatever, a big fan of him too, whatever. I saw a lot of Seth Rogen shit in the past 2 years, whatever, that just made me go like, wow, it's amazing how you just fucking dwindled off and started doing shit with, I don't know, Barbara Streisand all of a sudden, and you call that comedy or whatever. So, and Jonah Hill, he's working his way back up for me as well, whatever. He was a little disappointing at times, whatever, but I think he's slowly getting there, whatever. Danny McBride, oh my God, fan of his as well, just like Seth Rogen, whatever, but the past couple of movies he's been coming out with, Your Highness, yeah.
And the movie even calls out Your Highness.
That is what's so awesome about this movie, though, because the movie opens up pretty much with them just talking shit about, like, their careers, whatever. I think that's, like, the best key element here is that the actors in here are playing themselves.
Right.
It's like a documentary almost.
Right. And that's the funny thing about this movie is that this is a very self-referential parody type movie where everyone is playing themselves. And They're either playing a, you know, what they play in every role that they've played, where Seth Rogen, you know, he's a stoner. Come on, guys, we got to all figure this out. But he's kind
of—he's a scary ass inside, you know.
Yeah, everyone's kind of playing themselves. They're either doing that, or every celebrity in here is playing outlandish versions of themselves.
No, I believe that really is Michael Cera. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie, dude. When I saw that, I was like, I bet that is Michael Cera right now. He hasn't had a movie since I don't know how long. His last one bombed. So I was like,
yeah, Arrested Development came back, and he got a lot of money.
So he started doing cocaine and was like, fuck it, man. I'll tell you.
Getting blowjobs in the bathroom while drinking Capri Sun.
Okay. What the fuck? Well, they was giving him a straight rim job in the bathroom or whatever. And then, like, everybody, it's almost as if they treat him like an adorable, obnoxious little kid or whatever in the movie or whatever. And that's how I actually see him, too, whatever.
Well, it was so funny because Mindy Kaling, who's on The Office and has her own show, a lot of girls like her. But she just comes straight up and is like, oh, I want to fuck Michael Cera. He's probably that skinny ass that has a big cock. And Seth Rogen's like, no, he's an awkward little fuck.
Yeah, or the scene where after Jay, how's he pronounce his last name?
Baruchel.
Baruchel, when he sees him in the bathroom getting a blowjob and the other girl's licking his ass, pretty much a rim job, whatever, Seth Rogen's asked him, so I bet his ass is a little tiny and shiny, isn't it, or whatever. I'm like,
it's just like a little dot.
Yeah, it's like a little dot or whatever, you know, so...
So, we can run through this plot pretty quickly here. So, the movie begins. Jay Baruchel goes to visit his friend Seth Rogen, who lives in L.A. and has gotten the sweet life. And all that grid stuff. And Seth Rogen's like, hey, Jay, you want to go to a party at James Franco's house? I don't know, because Jay doesn't really like the L.A. lifestyle. He's not a big L.A., you know, I'm rich, I'm famous type guy. So he's like, I don't know if I want to go to James Franco's house.
He starts naming off all the celebrities that's going to be there or whatever. And it's just funny how Jay's just sitting there looking like, yeah, I don't even know him. He's like, yeah. Oh, James Franco can't even remember my name. Oh, yeah. Jonah Hill. I don't even like that fucking guy.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Jonah Hill fucking hates me, too.
How could you say that? Jonah Hill's one of the nicest, sweetest guys ever, whatever. No, he's a dick.
Right, so they get to the house, and James Franco is like, hey, everyone's here for my housewarming party. Hooray, fun. So,
could you ever see James Franco playing a... Even though we've seen it before, but could you see him playing a serious role? Because I really think he acts like this in real life, whatever. Just party guy, look like he's high all the time, just saying shit, whatever.
I would have said that, but then I saw 127 Hours. I was like, you know what? He can do it if he wants to.
Well, I'm not even saying that as a complaint. I actually like this.
Yeah, but...
He looks like the ultimate guy you just want to hang around with all day.
Right, and it's hilarious because when they get to the party, everyone's like, hey, Seth, hey, Seth, hey, Seth, hey. Johnny?
That's what Jay.
Right. And Jonah Hill's trying to play the, oh, Jay, yay! Trying to be the nice guy that everyone expects him to be. So Jay's feeling really uncomfortable at the party after seeing Michael Cera get his butthole licked.
Yeah.
He asks Seth to go with him to go get some cigs, and he's upset at Seth.
Before that, remember, we see Rihanna.
Oh, that's right. Michael Cera slaps her on in the ass.
Hot. Oh, my God.
And she sings Take My Panties Off with Craig Robinson.
Oh, my God. I wish I'd took her panties off, whatever. I will give Michael Cera this kind of credit. Even though I wish he was dead, he got to smack her on the ass.
Yeah, that's true. So, as Jay and Seth leave for the convenience store to go get cigs, Jay's complaining to Seth that he feels like he's not being a good friend. He ditched him at the party. All this stuff, they're all complaining. Suddenly, a bunch of bright beams come down from the heavens and take multiple people along.
Which you think is probably like alien spaceships abducted people or whatever. At least that's what I thought. That's when I saw the trailer. I thought it was just like an alien abduction film where we'll never see the alien, but there will be like silhouettes of them. Caught me off guard.
Yeah, so only some people leave. And Jay and Seth look at the convenience store owner, who's just as scared, only to see her get smashed.
And bloody smashed. So I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, what made me laugh harder is when they go outside and they see the guy on the street just get completely leveled.
I like the scene where those two are running or whatever, and just like as they're running through shit, like, they're running in like the most fakest way possible, but like everything bad is just happening to people. People getting killed, running, the cop car almost ran them over and shit like that, whatever. I'm just like, that's actually pretty good, whatever. They're going back to James Franco's house or whatever, and I love it because he's just sitting there, he's just like, dude, this place is so goddamn rich that it's earthquake proof.
Right. So at first, like, the big shake in the light, they think it's an earthquake, and Jay thinks he's the only one who's seen the light, when suddenly, a big sinkhole opens in front of James Franco's house.
But there is one thing, too. James Franco tells, nobody leaves the fucking house. This actually comes back in the movie, by the way.
Right. So, James Franco, as soon as everyone leaves, he's like, God damn it. And they go outside to see L.A. in flames.
You see the Hollywood Hills just burning like a motherfucker. And I'm just like, you should have seen me in theater. Yes, the apocalypse is finally happening. Yes.
P1 takes out his lead pipe. It's happening. Burn everyone.
I started running down the aisles of the theater, just beating everybody I could see. Whatever, give me your shit.
it's like, girl,
you come with me.
It's like, have you ever seen the Futurama where they think the apocalypse is going to happen when Bender finds out, Louis riding, I'm staying. Woohoo!
Hell yeah! or even when even in the Simpsons when it happened and Lisa was being taken up to heaven and then Homer grabbed her and said, "Nuh-uh, not you." That's probably something I would have did.
Right, so they see the Hollywood Hills burning, and everyone's trying to figure it out. Michael Cera, of course, just wants more coke, and then gets impaled by a lamppost in a pretty brutal...
Which comes to a funny scene, because like, there's a big-ass hole growing or whatever, and he's just like, dude, what is this? This isn't cool. Someone stole my cell phone. Okay, somebody call my number. Everybody's just looking at him like, what the... You know what? Oh, before we get into that, I gotta say this. There was a shot, which is why I love this, too, whatever. McLovin... Jonah Hill and fucking Michael Cera all together in like two scenes, and I was just like, I want to see more of that. I don't know.
I don't know why. I want to see more of that.
Especially when like Jonah Hill, you know, I will say this is one complaint that I actually do have with him. I wish Jonah Hill was more of his character from Superbad than what they did with him here. I enjoyed him there, but I was like, how crazier would have been if he would have just been that character too.
That's true.
But there was a scene where fucking Michael Cera is like, he's like, he starts blowing cocaine in fucking McLovin's face. He's like, oh, why are you an asshole, dude? And then Jonah Hill's just sitting there all calm like, dude, that's not cool. You shouldn't do stuff like that, man. And he's like, and McLovin's like, I've never done coke before. I'm freaking out.
Right. And Michael Cera's like, I'm going to walk you through it. It's going to be awesome. You're just going to trip balls, and then you're going to get your dick sucked.
Yeah. And then he tells me, he says, you ought to be good. You should be happy about this your first time. That's not no cheap coke right there, man. That's the good shit.
Right. So, after Michael Cera gets impaled, as P1 said, a big sinkhole opens up, and celebrities just start falling to their deaths like candy.
What's the guy's name from Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Jason?
Jason Segel is the first to go. So, no, kids, you won't find out Who Met Your Mother and How I Met Your Mother.
Jason Segel's in there, whatever. It's funny because there's a lot of comedians in here, even Paul Rudd, which I don't know what happened to his character, actually. He just runs out of nowhere. He's running and screaming with a champagne bottle in his hand. It's funny as hell, whatever. And he accidentally, he's just screaming. He's like, help! And at first I was like, is that Paul Rudd? And then you just see him run over this person's head and the eye will twist. Oh, shit. And then he just vanishes from the movie, though. I thought what they did the best in this movie, though, is they had all these big-name actors that everybody fucking knows. But they didn't have him in there too long because there's like, oh, well, we just can't have this big actor in here for nothing, whatever. So
right.
We can just kill him off right here like it's nothing.
Let's go down the list of celebrities who fall into the sinkhole.
Please, dude.
You got Rihanna, who goes first.
I would have saved her.
You got Jason Segel. You got Mindy Kaling. You got Aziz Ansari, who gets kicked in.
He hangs on for quite a bit or whatever until, what was it, Kevin Hart?
Yeah, he holds on to Kevin Hart's leg until a pole comes down and cuts his hand off, and I love how he says, fuck you, Kevin, as he's dying.
Well, it's funny how Kevin Hart was just kicking him. He's just like, you already in hole, goddamn, just fall.
Yeah, Kevin Hart falls in.
He falls in the most ridiculous way, too, because he's like got a hand on his leg. He's like, oh, shit, his hand, and he just like trips. He's like, ah.
Yeah, Harvey Krumholz, I think is his name is.
I think it is too as well.
Yeah, he's a comedian writer who works with Baruchel a lot.
Oh, nice.
Who else?
There was another dude because Jonah Hill pushed Jay in the goddamn Baruchel. I'm fuck his name up already. Goddamn.
Right.
But Jonah Hill obviously pushed him in the goddamn hole because Jonah Hill's trying to play like he likes him, but. I'm with Jay. Jonah's a dick, and he's son or whatever, and he pushes him intentionally into the hole, whatever. I forgot the guy's name who was like, okay, give me your hand, Jay, and I want you to swing me up there. He's like, can you hold me now? Can you
that
hold
me? That was Cornholes.
Oh, yes, that's right, whatever. But I was just looking at this dude like, you gonna trust Jay Baruchel to hold your fucking weight. Okay, right? You're asking to die.
Right, so after all that happens, it's Craig Robinson, James Franco, Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, and Jay Baruchel. And they're all trying to figure out what the hell's going on. They just think it's an earthquake, and oh, we're going to get saved. It'll all be okay. They ration their food, they go to bed.
Fucking James Franco the whole time, though, in this scene, he's just like, I told everybody not to leave the fucking house. We could have been safe in here.
Right. And there's a really funny scene where they rationalize all the food and some materials.
Yeah.
And they're all fighting over a Milky Way. There's a fake revolver that they think is real.
You can tell that shit wasn't real. Neither. Just looking at it, he's like, man, I keep all my props in here, whatever, shit like that, whatever.
We got all this stuff and the camera from 127 hours.
He's like, that was a good movie, wasn't it? Because Seth Rogen called it 27 hours. He's like, 127 hours.
Right.
I was nominated for that.
Okay, 127 hours.
You know what? And that's funny because I do picture James Franco just keeping all his shit from his movies, bragging about it too.
Right. Like, but if I can say one thing real quickly before you continue on with the plot, I think the marketing for this movie is really misleading.
I think it's really good. I love the marketing because, like you say, misleading. Like, people say, oh, trailers spoil everything all the time. Oh, Iron Man 3 had the Mandarin in it in the trailer, and they didn't show it or whatever and shit like that. And I thought this was an alien invasion or something like that, seeing the beam lights. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. It's not an alien invasion. It's an apocalyptic movie, to be honest, whatever. It's pretty much the rapture happening, whatever, which caught me off guard completely. I was just looking like, whoa, okay.
I'm going to say this. They're marketing this as a comedy movie. It's not. It's a horror comedy.
It's a dark comedy, yeah.
It's a straight-up horror comedy, as in, yes, there are some scary moments in this movie.
Yeah, you know what? When that first creature appears, when he jumps through the window, I ain't gonna lie, I shook. I was like, oh, shit, I was not expecting that.
No, I shook. Like, my friends can tell you, I jumped whenever the rapture began, like when the huge shake happened and everything broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I jumped.
Yeah, I gotta say, no horror movie has ever jumped me and made me jump on my seat or anything like that, whatever. Never. Because I could predict it and everything. Since the marketing was so good in the movie, I didn't know what it was. And when I first saw that creature in there, I don't know what it was. And honestly, he was running on four legs and shit like that, whatever. When I saw that, and it busted that window, I kind of jumped. I was just like, whoa, that caught me completely off guard.
Yeah, that's later on in the movie. So we get all these scenes where the guys, you know, they're like, all right, we've rationalized all our food and materials. Let's go to bed. As long as we keep a strict schedule, we'll be okay. Then somebody just had to go and fuck it up.
Danny fucking McBride.
Yep. So Danny McBride, being the dumbass partier that he is, slept through the whole thing, wakes up in the morning, thinks, oh, I'm going to do a nice thing and cook all this nice, wonderful food for everyone.
And it's funny because James Franco hates him in the movie. He's just like, I hate that guy, whatever. He's like, I didn't even invite him to my party. And I was like, how the fuck did he get in the bathroom?
Right. So as soon as they find Danny McBride's like, look, nothing's going on. It's not some earthquake. We're all fine. And then it's this little funny scene where a guy breaks through their quote-unquote barricade. And
yeah, I know, that quote-unquote barricade. What the fuck was that, by the way? That looked like just like some bumper stickers, dude, on the
door. Right, no, that's celebrities saying, look, if we do this, we'll be safe. And then it's showing just how dumb they really are.
And how many people broke through that barricade, by the way?
I counted two, but surprisingly no monster, well, one monster did. I take that back. But we'll get into that later, folks. So someone gets through this barricade only for his head to get chopped off, and in what I found the funniest scene in the movie where Danny's like, this is real! It is real!
This isn't a movie!
And they're all freaking out because yeah, they start playing soccer with his head until Jonah picks it up, thinking it's a prop, and then he goes, ew, ew, ew.
Yeah, because the blood starts dripping out, he just drops them off or whatever. And then fucking Craig Robinson, he comes with a blanket, he's just screaming,
But I love the shot that they do where they do the camera like they're all kicking, like you're in through the eye point of the head and they're all kicking around. They're all scared as shit.
Oh yeah,
I love that shot.
Everything as far as technical wise looked great on the budget, which was say it, Leo?
$32 million. The internship can go suck a dick.
How the fuck did that cost over $70 million? With this movie had almost damn near every goddamn actor, comedian actor that everyone knows or whatever, and special effects in here, which I gotta say look better than most big budget films we've seen this summer so far.
Yeah, I would agree. There's some moments where it did look a little choppy, but I would, for the most part, agree.
The reason why I won't complain with it, because I did see some choppy whatever, is just $30 million. I was just like, if you can do that with $30 million, what I saw at the end, I was just like, then you know what?
You win.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. You have me impressed. Now, had that been like over 200-something million or some shit like that or whatever, and it would have been just as choppy as fuck continuing through, I would have been looking at that like, where the fuck did that money go? But I'm impressed with that. It was almost as if I was with District 9 with the shit I saw in there for that low budget it had.
Right. So, after the whole head incident, they were realizing slowly that, hey, something must be going on. And Jay Baruchel's the only one that's slowly realizing, oh shit, it's the apocalypse.
Yeah, so we should rape Emma Watson.
Yes. So Emma Watson gets in.
When he brought it up, because Emma Watson comes in, they take her to a room, whatever, and stuff. And as she's changing, all the guys just stand there, or whatever. I'm not gonna lie. It would have came to that point where I was like, "Why are these guys being so nice?" I would have been like, Jay has been like, "Look, she's a hot woman, and I love her. I'm going to go keep her nice and warm real quick, whatever. You guys have fun out here playing with yourselves or whatever and shit." But and they all look at him like, dude, are you talking about raping her or whatever? And it's like, no, nobody's raping anybody. We're all nice here or whatever and shit. I was like,
what? But all she, but of course, through the magical movie window, all she hears is rape. So she takes her axe that she broke into the house to, beats the shit out of them.
She pretty much threatens or whatever, and they're just like, wait, we're not talking about raping you or whatever. She's like, look, all I hear is the word rape. I'm a little paranoid. I've been in a drain for 3 damn days and shit, so.
Right. So she ends up stealing a lot of their stuff.
Which, by the way, which was the bag from Pineapple Express James Franco puts the fucking drinks in.
Was it really?
Yeah, I was staring at it because before this scene, they make Pineapple Express Part 2.
And like, well, no, it's funny because they're talking about that throughout the movie. It's like, we should make Pineapple Express 2. They explain the plot synopsis. It's like, you know what? I actually would go see that.
And you know what the funny thing about that, though, is they're making I think they are making a Pineapple Express 2 whatever. So I'm just like, man, I swear, if that's the script or whatever,
I'm in.
I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to be like, damn, they just spoiled their own fucking movie, though.
Right.
But one thing we should note about Franco's character, he has a big obsession with Seth Rogen or whatever.
Yeah, he does.
Because of Pineapple Express. Even in his house, whatever, he's like, this is art, man, whatever. He's telling Jay Rochelle, he's like, did your daddy fuck your mother or whatever? He's like, well, his dick is the creator, and you are art right now.
Yeah, Franco's the most celebrity out of all, though, because he's just a pretentious douche and doesn't want to admit it.
he said, hey... He said, do you play video games? Yeah. You're fucking playing art then.
Right.
He is such a hipster.
No, I know. So, continuing on. Yeah, so,
but before the Emma Watson thing, though, they fucking film pretty much in their house.
Pineapple Express 2.
With the cameras, whatever. And
but that leads to another great joke where they're like, we should make movies of all of our sequels except Your Highness.
And you hear in the background, you gotta listen real closely because the scene moves away or whatever, and they're about to get to the next scene because they say that real quick, whatever. Danny McBride says, yeah, I can't believe I did that or whatever. I was like, oh! the truth comes out.
Yeah, so, well, it's ironically enough, the co-director of this also did it.
Hey, you can recognize shit or whatever. But I thought that was hilarious, though. He's like, I don't know why we just don't make sequels to all of our movies or whatever, you know, whatever. Except for fucking Your Highness, what the hell's we thinking with that?
Right. So, things move on. After they run out of water, they realize they send Craig Robinson out to go get more, and Craig Robinson sees something and comes back in the house and goes to Jay. He's like, "You're right, it's the apocalypse."
Yeah, and fucking Jonah Hill stabs Jay. By the way, whatever. He's like, "He fucking literally throws a knife at him." And you just. I don't know, the way they shot that knife come down, it looked pretty good, because that shit came straight down. I was like, oh shit, dude. Stabbed him in his leg, whatever. He's like, fuck, dude, or whatever. Jonah Hill's just standing there like, oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So, Jane's right.
Yeah, so we then move, they all go to bed, realizing that, you know, maybe this is apocalypse happening, and Jonah Hill, after a scuffle with Jay Baruchel, well, actually, no, I'm sorry. They kicked
the water first because
they kicked Danny. Yeah, they kicked Danny McBride out after he steals all their water,
and then puts on fucking James Franco tuxedo. I love when he's sleeping in his tuxedo. James Franco's like, "We gotta get the fucking out of here, or whatever." Look at him; he's sleeping in my fucking tuxedo, and he can't even fit it.
Right. So
before that, they did like a confessional too, where James Franco was talking shit about Danny McBride in the confession booth, whatever. He was just like. And then Danny interrupted him and said, oh, okay, that's nice. And then he leaves, and then he's just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. So they kick Danny McBride out of the house, and
he pretty much leaves on his own. Remember, he said, I'm leaving on my own.
Right. So they all go to bed, you know, wondering what they're going to do next, what they're going to do tomorrow to try to survive.
They start drinking their own piss.
Yeah.
know why. Honestly, if you know what, if it goes to that level, I might as well just go outside then. Fuck it. I can't do that. I'm sorry.
Right. So, after a little scuffle between the four of them, Jonah Hill reveals him true self to hate Jay. As they've said in the beginning of the movie, and he asks God to kill Jay somehow.
I was like, you're really going to say that during an apocalypse? You're going to ask, you're going to pray to God that he murders somebody?
Well, That's what makes the next part make so much sense. Because Jonah ends up getting raped by the devil.
I love it because at first I was just like, why is the devil pulling his sheets back or whatever and shit like that? Because you obviously know the devil. You see a silhouette of him, you see the horns and shit like that. It's like, oh, the devil. The devil's
you see that. You see that silhouette first, and then when you see him pulling on the covers, you see a silhouette of him with a huge dick.
And that's when I started thinking, like, I know he's not, but, oh, God. And Jonah Hill, right before them, when them blankets come off, that devil pretty much gets next to his goddamn mouth pretty much. And then Jonah Hill's eyes open up, and then he just goes pretty much, oh, fuck, or whatever. And I love the next morning when Jonah Hill is just not telling anybody about it. His eyes is all, like he looked like he didn't sleep at all and shit.
You know what I was thinking of? I thought that joke was funny at first, but then I could just imagine Marlon Wayans standing up in the theater going, this is some bullshit!
You know, I will say this too about that, whatever. I thought the Exorcist scene or whatever, because it that's basically what it comes down to.
Jonah gets he gets possessed by demons, so they decide, conscious decision, we gotta perform an exorcism. And then it was a hilarious joke to me. They put a title card up, The Exorcism of Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Which that was probably the funniest part of that. And saying this, though, my negative view about this, I felt like that kind of, I was like, I didn't hate it or I didn't love it, but I just thought like, they could have took that out because it's 2 hours long, whatever. And I was like, there's no need for a comedy, in my opinion, to be 2 hours long.
Yeah. So after,
I thought that was probably like one of the weak points of the comedy, whatever. Because I was like, oh wow, they took the Exorcist route or whatever. I was like, that kind of takes like this film that's like, you know, being different and original or whatever, and just made it like generic in this scene alone. So I was like, oh, they could just cut that out, whatever.
Right. So after the exorcism fails. Kind of, but not really, because they end up setting Jonah Hill on fire.
Yeah, because Jay and Seth get into whatever, because the true feelings about Jay and Seth are revealed, whatever, as far as Jay not really liking Seth that much or whatever, because they feel like they're splitting apart or whatever.
No, he felt like he sold out, and it was hilarious to me, where it's like, you sold out, and even the devil, yeah, man, you sold out.
Yeah, fucking, what's his name in the background? And he's just like, yeah, Seth, you really are a hack. Nobody does like you, whatever. And next, you know, they knock over a candle and light Jonah's ass on fire.
Yeah.
But you think, like, oh, he'll die after that. No, this motherfucker runs on fire.
Right, he doesn't die until he gets squashed. So now, the four of them are outside. Craig Robinson, James Franco, Seth Rogen, and Jay Baruchel are left on the outside.
And I gotta say, this is where the effects were. You said that budget. I looked at that and was like, because out of nowhere, a fucking flying demon from hell just appeared on the garage. And they're gonna take the car, and then next thing, a demon flies on it. And I was just like, what in the fuck now? I was not expecting to see that. I thought they were all just gonna just die right there, and then it'd be the end of the movie or whatever. And then when I saw that, I was just like,
right, okay, so.
Going on any longer or whatever, and if I see any more of that, I'm just like, goddamn, create it for me.
Yeah, so after the demon pops up, Craig Robinson decides to sacrifice himself for his friends, and before he can get killed, he gets sent up to heaven. So now, Jay, Seth, and James have realized, hey, if we're nice, we'll get to go to heaven. So they all start being nice to each other. It's like, man, this isn't working. And then they get,
yeah, because they start talking about Jay, and he's like, Jay, you're so in great shape, you know, when you take your shirt off, you can walk down the beach and just pick up any girl, whatever, and stuff. Just like, and then they were just like, okay, you know what, this isn't working, whatever, we gotta be honest with each other.
Yeah, and then they get T-boned by a big truck with a bunch of crazy people in it, only to find out it's a cannibalistic group led by Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, whatever, and his Mad Max gear.
His Mad Max gear and his trusty sidekick, a.k.a. asswipe Channing Tatum.
Okay, you say sidekick, I say his fucking pigeon boy, whatever. He's before he takes his mask off, he's like, yeah, I fucked this dude in the ass and everything, whatever. And you see this dude like on all fours with a leash on him and whatever, and he's like sticking his ass out in the air or whatever, and I just like, oh, it's probably just, and then he takes his mask off. And then, by the way, there's a joke about Channing earlier in the film about Seth Rogen saying like, fuck yeah, I love Seth
Channing Tatum, he's attractive.
Yeah, Channing Tatum, whatever, he's fucking sexy or whatever and shit. And then you see him in the movie, you just like, he takes his mask off and he's like yeah, by the way, this is probably Channing Tatum's best performance ever, whatever, because he didn't really have to do shit.
Right. He's like, yeah, I like it. Oh, hey, guys, what's up?
Yeah. and then the look on James' face, he's like, Channing Tatum?
Right.
And then he just fucking Danny McBride's leg, whatever. He's like, I like that dick. And I was just like, what the?
Anywho, so James Franco's like, I can do it too. I sacrifice myself for you, Jay and Seth. Go, run! And he starts getting taken up to heaven. He looks at McBride and goes, fuck you, asshat. And then he gets, and then God just says no.
You know what's funny about that? It's in my head, I was saying, I want that to happen to somebody. Like, God's about to take him up, then all of a sudden he just like says, you know what, this guy's a dick, drop him off, whatever. And when that happened to James Franco, I was like, When as soon as he gets beamed up, I was like, I bet God's not gonna take him. I bet it, whatever, because he's gonna say something that's stupid, whatever. And fucking James Franco, when he gets the blue light on him, he's just like, yeah, fuck you, McBride. He's like, eat a dick, fuck you. And the next thing, he's throwing a middle finger. The next thing, that blue light just vanishes, and his ass falls. He's just like, hey, wait, take
right. So let's remember, he falls in a pile of cannibals. James Franco's dead. Everyone eaten alive.
I said, come on, God. You don't want the DeFranco up there to come up? You know what I wanted out of that? Order? I was like, I wish his brother was in this as well.
That would have been funny.
Just been them two left alone. And
so, Jay and Seth, they start running. They're like, oh, we got to live. We got to live. We got to do something. Jay apologizes to Seth for being a terrible friend, for lying to him. And then he starts getting taken up, and he's like, grab my hand, Seth, as soon
Before
as
that,
the...
Devil shows up.
Yeah, the devil himself shows up.
Which I gotta say, there was some problems that you could see on him, or whatever. But as far as like that whole thing of turning your whole brain off thing, or whatever, it didn't have to tear my brain off because it actually looked pretty decent for this budget or whatever. And I looked at that and was just like, wow. So they actually went that way. They actually went that way. They actually brought the devil in, not for a 5 second, but he was in there for a good 5 minutes, walking and smashing shit. So I was like,
right. So. You know, six dragon heads, floppy dick and all.
I know, they just kept... Well, his dick was small now.
So, as Jay and Seth are getting beamed up, Jay's like, just grab my hand! And Jay realizes that Seth's gonna keep him from going to heaven, so Seth sacrifices himself so Jay can go. And then, as everyone expects, he's saved! And his beam of light cuts off the devil's dick!
And I was like, and James Franco didn't go to heaven. Why, God, huh?
Right. So I love the both of them are going up to heaven. They're both like, yay, yay. And all you see at the bottom is the devil holding his dick like, no.
And this is the part where I thought the movie should have just ended.
I agree, because then they
when
get up
I saw this scene, this next scene that's coming up, I said, all right, that's all right. You've already been 2 hours long now. There was no reason to add what was about to happen with Leigh, who's about to describe right now.
Right, so they get up to heaven. Craig Robinson's there to greet them at the pearly gates. He's like, hey, guys, you have halos, and guess what? The halos can light your joints. Just whisper anything, and you'll get it.
I ain't gonna lie, this movie kind of almost made me want to be a religious nut or whatever. I was like, if that's heaven, then fuck.
Yeah. And Jay Baruchel wishes for a Backstreet Boys reunion, and everyone starts partying.
Why the fuck did that happen?
I don't know.
I thought he was gonna get, like, Daft Punk up there or something like that. Because, you know what? There is one music choice in here that people find annoying that I'd be like, you know what? That music actually fit in this movie. And that was fucking Mr. PSY Gangnam Style in here, whatever, and I was like,
oh!
I said, that is the best way this song has ever been introduced in anything today.
Let's do all the drugs. I don't know if I want to do it. Well, you shouldn't have drinking that drink filled with ecstasy. Wait, what?
Open Gangnam Style! And they got these, like, I don't know if they were just high or they really were wearing, like, lights or whatever, because I thought this dude was real, dude.
Yeah, no, it was a great drug trip where it was like, whoa!
I was like, man, I ain't gonna lie. I said, I want to be here with these dudes, too. Because I was like, that music is playing in their heads or whatever, and all this shit's going on. I was just like, sign me the fuck up then or whatever and shit. So,
right.
The movie ended with the Backstreet Boys then. And I was like, okay, they should have just ended with them ascending to heaven or whatever. Because I was like, that was a little far extreme right there. Whatever. I don't know who the fuck wishes for the Backstreet Boys.
I don't know, but I will say this: I do have one problem with this movie.
Shoot it for me.
I think the middle drags.
Oh yeah, that's why I said this movie is so long. A comedy to me should never be over 2 hours because it warns out its welcome and it just drags on the same jokes it has.
Whatever. Right.
Because the movie has like no motivation for the characters as far as just like gag, 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 let's get to here. Gag, 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 let's get to here. Gag, 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 let's end the film.
Well, I mean, that formula works if the gags are good. And the gags are great. It's
not
just
the movie is 2 hours.
The part that for me that the gags didn't work is the whole sequence where they're trying to get water.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those gags, except for one about jizz bombing, just does not work for me.
No, and I think some of the scenes, even though I did enjoy Danny McBride in here, I thought some of the scenes with that could have been cut out. Like, the part of that middle, that could have been cut out, especially scenes where we're just seeing them go to sleep and shit like that. I'm like, okay, we don't need to see that part now, whatever. Just cut that shit to the next day and let's keep going on or whatever. The movie has a lot of extra length to it or whatever, and at times, whatever, like a 2-hour comedy or whatever, when you're laughing hard, you can kind of wear yourself out with that shit.
Right. No, I agree. So, that's really it for me. I think this is one of the most original comedies that's come out in years. I love the fact that it's actually, you know, I feel like for the first time since I walked out of Zombieland that we have another great horror comedy.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I wouldn't mind seeing a TV show. I'm not gonna lie.
A TV series out of this that like followed individual celebrities after this happened?
Yeah, kind of like with like how The Walking Dead does or whatever, like a survival of getting place to place or whatever. I wouldn't mind seeing a season of it. It doesn't have to go no farther than that. Like 4 episodes. That's about it. Whatever. Just seeing the drug trips and shit or whatever they go through there. But other than that. I completely agree with you and everything as far as saying. I think the movie is a little long, whatever. I did enjoy it still, but my God, they could have trimmed this down by 25 minutes at least.
Easily.
What'd you give it?
I give it a see it. I really like the performances. I think this is a great horror comedy. I think it brings the scares as much as it brings the laughs, which is great for a horror comedy, especially one that's having marketing like this. I think this is going to surprise and shock a lot of people, and I know a lot of people have been calling this original. I agree with them. And yeah, that's pretty much it from my end. Full see it. Anyone who likes horror or comedies, seriously, go out and see this. You'll like it.
Or if you hated their previous movies, whatever, and you want to see them make fun of it, go see it. But
you know what? You're exactly right.
So for me, it's a see it as well, whatever. I thought this was probably the most original film of the year so far, whatever.
I don't come out of too. I think comedy is one of the hardest films to do this decade or whatever. To be honest, whatever, because the movie's purpose, job is to make me laugh, and if it doesn't make me laugh from start to finish, whatever, then the movie already failed itself, whatever. And I really, like you said, enjoyed the characters in here. I thought the movie dragged on a little bit too long, but for the effects that they had in this, whatever, I was just mind blown, going like, wow, this movie really caught me off guard as far as what's going on. Also, I have to say, once again, whatever, if you hated their previous movies, which I was starting to give up on most of these guys, whatever, as far as their comedy, I think this one might have put me back on the edge as far as liking them. And I was like, wow, I am impressed with these guys here now. And they stepped up their game a little bit here. So,
right.
This is this year's Cabin in the Woods.
Wow. You know what? I really didn't even think about that. Shit. That's actually a great metaphor.
I love it. We're about to end the review, and you're just like, whoa, hold on.
No, because it's like, yeah, what was I going to compare this to? You're like, Cabin in the Woods, like, oh, shit. So,
yeah, I think this year's Cabin in the Woods, and like, Cabin in the Woods took me off by storm and surprise, or whatever, and I ended up loving it to the point where I was just like, that's the most creative thing I've seen this year, or whatever. This one is probably the most creative thing I've seen this year.
I would agree. Anything else, sir?
No, that is it, my good man, or whatever. And if you can't stand your highness like I do, go see this movie.
I agree. Good night, everybody.
Good night. What you want, son? This is my king. This is my lane. Get out of the way. What you want, hun?
What the hell? Oh, my God! Emma Watson showed up.
There are six of us, you cannot rob us!
Oh, yeah. Hermione just stole all of our shit.